What's up, you basic bitches? Welcome back. It's just not the same. I had an aggressive intro where I called myself Jack Praxon and it was great, and then we had to re-record.
Ow.
I'm Robert.
Oh my gosh, I'm Tammy.
we're Mac is still here, but he's on the floor right now.
You guys remember how we trapped Angel and Kendrick? Well, now it's Mac's turn.
Yes. We're talking about...
I got a shit.
We're talking about how Mac has to shit this week.
Just this week.
No, we're talking about Miyazaki film, Studio Ghibli, and I guess by extension, Studio Ponoc. We need to really, like, figure out how we want to start episodes. I guess the obvious question is... Mac, you haven't seen many, but do you guys have a favorite... Stop. You're making me nervous. Do you guys have a favorite Miyazaki film?
Princess Mononoke.
I've seen that one, too.
Spirited Away, hands down.
Of the ones you've seen, Mac, do you have a favorite?
I've seen all of the ones that have just been mentioned. And... I liked Spirited Away, but I was also very scared of it.
Spirited Away?
I guess.
Oh, I think, damn it.
Me, personally, the one I probably rewatch the most is Kiki's Delivery Service. What? If Max sounds muffled, it's because he's literally below the mic right now.
Kiki, do you love me?
Alright, It's 2 minutes in, and we're already, like, just completely derailed.
I'm in pain, so...
Oh, jeez.
Why?
My entire head hurts, and my eyes won't stop watering.
Me and Belle finally had that fist fight. I walked away fine.
Why would you guys fist each other?
I'm not going to say anything.
So, Belle and Tammy, you guys have both seen Mary and the Witch's Flower, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
What?
But isn't that... That's not Ghibli, is it?
It is Ponoc, but a lot of the animators from Ghibli went over to that studio.
Yeah, I found out, like, halfway through the movie that it wasn't Ghibli, and I was like, what?
Well, the movie itself is kind of a love letter to Ghibli. They have a lot of references to their other films.
Why are you touching my feet?
No, I want a pillow.
Stop. Just ask for a pillow, then.
I found one. I'm independent.
Oh, my goodness. So I wanted to ask, like, what you guys' general opinions on Mary and the Witch's Flower was.
It was good.
Thank you.
It was really good. It, I mean, it's not a Ghibli movie, so I feel like I can't, even though it was a love letter to Ghibli, I feel like I can't quite compare it to Ghibli, but it didn't have...
Well, I don't know that it's unfair to draw a comparison there, because it seems like they made it, like, with the intent, like...
Yeah.
They had to have known people were going to think this was a Ghibli film.
Yeah, I think, because the thing is, like, a lot of people I heard were saying, like, oh, it doesn't have, like, the weight or, like, the symbolism of a typical Ghibli film. And I'm like, well, Kiki is, like, one of the simplest films that Ghibli ever made.
If you want to compare it, and these were my thoughts when I first saw it, if you want to compare it to a Ghibli film, it's baby's first Ghibli film. It has, like, all the ingredients. It's just presented in a very easily digestible way.
Yeah.
The movie did feel a little rushed. Like, it definitely could have benefited from, like, an extra 30 minutes, and they do spoon feed some stuff to you, but it was still very enjoyable. It was cute as butts.
It was super enjoyable. It, like, I can definitely be seeing it become a favorite among kids. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
It was super adorable. It was super sweet. I mean, it's by no means, like, it's by no means up there with anything that's, like, Spirited Away or anything like that has a lot of heavy symbolism.
Yeah.
But it's still really, really... And the thing is, like, Ghibli makes... It makes Spirited Aways and Mononokes and Grave of the Fireflies, but it also makes Kikis.
And Totoros.
So it's like, you can't... You can be Ghibli, and you can still have something that's super lighthearted and simple and not heavy on the symbolism, but you can also make stuff that's super adult and heavy on the symbolism. So I think it was really good. It was just more on the Kiki side than it was on, like, the heavy side, which is perfectly fine.
It was very safe.
Yeah. It was safe. That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
This wasn't planned, but we're talking about this right after our Disney episode. And with that said, have either of you seen The Cats Return?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that one for a little bit?
The what?
In what way?
The Cats Return. I feel like it was really underrated.
Okay. I was about to be like, are you about to diss the Cats?
No.
I was about to be like, Robert, you're on thin ice there.
All right, listen, after you diss Jean in our Ruby episode, I feel like I'm justified.
It's Ghibli. Ghibli is far more precious to me than Disney or anime anything will ever be. Oh,
looks like I just care about Jean more than you do.
Yes, that's true. I will not deny that. I in fact, declare that statement from the top of the Eiffel Tower.
We're in... Well, I don't want to say what state we're in because then people can guess what college we go to, but we're not in France.
Are you sure about that?
So, Tammy, you've never seen The Cats Return?
No. I love how easy it is to make you question reality.
No, that one, if I'm remembering correctly, that one was a cross between Ghibli and Disney, right? The Cats Return, they have people from both companies working on it.
I actually don't know. I never really looked into the production side of it.
I'm like 80% sure that they had people from both companies working on it. And it was like, it's definitely different from Ghibli's other films.
Oh, yeah.
It was really unique.
And even the style differed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Once again, it looks
a little more Western than their other films.
Yeah, and it still had a Ghibli feeling to it, for sure, but it definitely was different, and it was one of those movies where it was a little more on the simple side, but it was also super weird, which is good. That's the thing, is like, whenever you say weird and put Ghibli in the same sentence, that's usually implied as a good thing.
Yeah.
So, like, it was super weird, and it was super kooky, and it was super fun, and like, really sucked you into the drama of this kingdom of cats.
I mean, the movies in general do a really good job of just... They're all very weird, but they all, like, you get so, I don't even think invested is the right word, just drawn into the worlds that they create.
Oh, I get super invested.
I remember being in second grade. This was, like, when we first got to Japan. And we had, like, classes where they would teach us about the culture in Japanese language class. And in our culture class, we watched My Neighbor Totoro. And I remember, like, initially, because it was a slower film.
Yeah.
But, like,
oh, yeah.
I was just oddly invested in it and, like, drawn to the characters. And, like, I think I went home and I coerced my parents into buying, like, the box set of Ghibli DVDs of everything they had put out at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, me and my sister just binged watched them.
Yeah, that's, like, I think that is the greatest skill of Ghibli, is that they, even though they are, like, once again, like I said before, they're fantastic at the heavy stuff. I mean, Grave of the Fireflies is, I'll never watch that again.
Never watch Grave of the Fireflies again.
The day after
I watched it, I went to class with my eyes swollen, and Keith couldn't sleep because I was shaking the bed from crying so hard.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it is an amazing, 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 amazing movie, but I'll never watch it again. It hurts that bad, but... So, Ghibli can do stuff like that, but one of the biggest strengths is that it knows how, or they know how to make something so simple, like a summer between a couple of sisters, or a little witch just, like, trying to figure out her own small purpose in the world. Just, like, these really simple stories, they make you care so much, and, like, that is so... I think that's just, like, one of why Ghibli is just, like, so dear to so many people, because not even Disney doesn't really do that nearly as well as Ghibli. They touch on it, but Ghibli, like, they make you invested in the whole movie, whereas Disney is, like, they tend to, like, have to shorten it to scenes where it's, like, you like that scene because it's nice and quiet and simple, but, like, no, they have to put in a bunch of other stuff, whereas Ghibli, they can make it an entire movie, and you're still super invested.
Part of that, I think, is due to the importance on storytelling. It's something I forget who told me, but someone explained to me, like, the big difference between Western and Eastern storytelling is that American comics are more story-driven, whereas Japanese Eastern stuff, they're more character driven. And mm-hmm. if you care more,
that about was the, a conversation you and I had.
Yeah, if you care more about the characters, then you will naturally just be more invested in the story. Whereas Disney, like, I would say their stories are good, but you can like a Disney story. And I mean, we talked about it last episode. There are good Disney movies with characters that we dislike.
Oh yeah.
And it does take you out of the movie a bit.
Yeah, it's like we were just saying, like Black Cauldron. Like that is a really good story, but oh god, you hate the characters. Mm-hmm. Like I hate the characters in Black Cauldron.
Yeah. Whereas like I can't really think of many Ghibli characters that I dislike.
Exactly. Like when I sit down and think about it, it's like, do I dislike any? Like
yeah. Like even like Yubaba is a good character.
Yeah, like you even like the characters that are not good people. Like you still love them.
Not to mention like their designs are alright, if you guys haven't guessed by this point, we're artists.
It's no. blowing our cover.
And one of our
I never knew this about myself.
One of our professors, Professor Big Sword.
Should never have named him.
I'm sticking with it. I hope he hears these podcasts. And if no one shows it to him, I'll show it to him myself. But whenever we have one of his character design classes, he always brings up what he calls the Ghibli hair thing, which is something they do with their characters. Where they use a hair as a way of emoting for the characters, which is not something that you see often in American comics. Like, you know... Or even TV shows, like a few characters will do it, but like, for example, but it's not with all emotions. Like the example that comes to mind is Phineas and Ferb. When he gets mad, his hair gets more spiky and it flares up. But that's really only when he's mad. It's not something they utilize for conveying different emotions like Ghibli does.
It's super. Like this is like Ghibli is just kind of like genius as far as I'm concerned when it comes to storytelling and character design and animation. It's just like they are overall, like, in my opinion, like, to me this entire episode is just going to be me gushing. I really don't have very many criticisms of Ghibli, any Ghibli movies overall.
I mean, even
well, it's kind of hard when I mean, like, okay, like Spirited Away, you know, like, I don't know how much you guys know about this, but like he made up the story as he was going.
Yeah,
they barely wrote a script.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like Spirited Away is another one where like even the characters who should be like disgusting and like, hideous are hateable. Oddly like, well, I mean, like physically, like their designs should be disgusting and hideous, but they're oddly appealing.
I know, it's like, it's so Ghibli, just like, I don't know.
It's...
You can't... Oh no, Tammy's gone again.
Oh my goodness. Alright, Belle, keep gushing while we get Tammy back.
No, yeah, seriously, I really just don't know if there is a possible way to complain about anything Ghibli, like, even when it's, like, super... Like, even, like, what we were saying, when something is super ugly or weird-looking, it's still appealing, or you're still, like... interested in it. And even those movies, like, for example, like we said, Grave of the Fireflies, it is a absolutely heart-wrenching movie. I'm never going to see it again. Tammy's never going to see it again, for sure. But it's still an amazing movie, and you still acknowledge that. And then, me personally, like, with Mononoke, I fucking love Mononoke. It is an absolutely amazing movie. But, like, I mean, I personally can't watch it again just because I have a thing with worms. That's, like, a number one thing that grosses me out. So if I watch Mononoke again, I'll have to be like with somebody who will be like, hey, there's a worm scene coming up, so I can look away.
Watching Mononoke, watching that movie always makes me want to watch Inuyasha. Mac, what are you doing?
Tammy, you know how bad worms freaked me out purely from the pot incident.
You're the reason I can't get on Tumblr.
I love Spirited Away. I recognize that Spirited Away is an amazing story, because it is. And I love that, like, it was the story that he just pretty much threw together as he went along. And I think that's what makes Spirited Away so great, because it's natural. He's letting his imagination take over. Which is how, honestly, like, you know, when we were younger, that's how we used to create.
Yeah.
You know, like, whenever I first started drawing comics, I never wrote when I was, like, in fourth or fifth grade, I never wrote a script.
Yeah.
I never thumbnailed. I just drew. And yeah, the stories weren't great because I was little, but I mean, like, they were still, they were honest. You know, I wasn't trying to cater to anything. And that's why I think that Spirited Away is so great. But I still love Mononoke better, which, by the way, I got to see Mononoke in theaters because they're doing their Ghibli Fest right now. And he took me, and I, oh my God, it was so good. But anyway.
I mean, Spirited Away is another one where, like, they weren't afraid to, I mean, Ghibli in general, but that's the first one that I personally saw that they weren't afraid to go to, I don't want to say a dark place, but, you know, Max said this earlier, like, as a kid, there were parts in the movie that definitely scared me.
Oh, yeah.
In which one?
Spirited Away.
Spirited Away.
Like, there were certainly parts in the movie that, like, they weren't like, scary scenes, but, like,
you wanna go outside?
It was something that, like, you would not have seen in any other kids movie.
Hey guys, I'll be right back. I'm gonna take Cassio.
Yeah.
I was one of those kids where it was really hard to scare me. I was one of those kids where I was like, I mean, when it came to kids movies, adult movies, like, they would, like, accidentally seeing stuff in adult movies that would freak me out. But, like, when it came to kids movies, I was never really scared of anything. And I remember when Spirited Away came out. Like, I remember when it came to America and, like, was first in theaters. And I remember, like, begging my mom. Like, we didn't get to see it in theaters, so I begged my mom to get me the DVD. And, I mean, I distinctly remember being able to watch that when it first came out, which we were pretty young when that first came out in theaters in America. That, like, I don't remember anything being scary about it or in any other Ghibli movie.
The scenes with the giant baby and,
I can understand that being, like, weird.
And his, was it No Name? The
oh, No Face.
No Face.
See, I love No Face.
Initially, I was fine with him. And then, like, when he, like, starts eating everything, that was like that scene in particular, like it was a little freaky for me as a kid.
I feel like Agrippa's like whole inspiration comes from that. Not gonna lie.
but again, like, he, you have no reason to like this character. No Face. There's no reason to like him, but by the end of, like, his involvement in the movie, you know, you kind of feel bad for him.
Oh, I think they give you reason to like him about, like, after his rampage is over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, before then, you're right. You don't like him for... Well, I mean, actually, no. He helps her.
Mm-hmm.
He helps her. So they do give you a small reason to be like, oh, okay. But, like, even when he was, like, being absolutely horrible and scary, like, there was still a point where he was just like, here, take my gold. Like, he had little redeemable moments throughout the entire movie, even when he was being scary as shit.
Yeah.
So... that's what Ghibli's good at. They're really good at sneaking in, like, these little moments that make you not hate the character, even if they're a villain. Like Yubaba. Like, you should hate her. And...
Mac, you're allowed to contribute. You don't have to give us thumbs up.
Yeah. Like, she's awesome. Like, I fucking love her. She's so much fun. But she has little moments where she's not insanely selfish.
What was I gonna talk about? I was gonna say something about Kiki's.
There are no villains when you think about it in Kiki's. That's just a life movie.
Well, Kiki's and Totoro I like because I really like slice of life stuff.
Yeah.
And they, what?
What?
Yeah. Are you okay down there?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like slice of life stuff, especially when it has, like, little magical elements, which I guess makes it less slice of life.
And that's the thing about Totoro is that they make it, like, Spirited Away is far more on the nose about it being, like, the magic being real, whereas, oh my god, whereas Totoro, you never really know if it was real or not. You can't quite be 100% sure, which I think is what's great about the movie. They make it, like... they make you unsure about it.
That movie, I remember watching it, and there was one day where, like, my mom was cleaning, and she said something about Dust Bunny, and I was like, no, I don't want to get rid of the Dust Bunny, because I had just seen Totoro, and I thought Dust Bunnies were kind of cute because of that movie.
Yeah.
Even though, now, fuck them.
What?
Dust bunnies.
What did I cut back to?
Dust bunnies.
Oh.
Okay. We were talking about Totoro as compared to Spirited Away, and how like one is more on the nose about magic being real, and one like is a little more up in the air.
You know that Totoro was based off of a Japanese folklore, right?
It wasn't like a forest spirit.
Yeah, well, it was literally about these two little girls who went to play with the forest spirits, and they were never found again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Japanese legend that if you go to that forest, then you can hear little girls playing still.
This isn't necessarily related to Ghibli. Japanese like horror stories are freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember going on. We took a horror tour, like a scary story tour.
I don't want to hear it.
Oh, you're gonna. We're in the bus and we're driving by this house, and the tour guide is telling us. I don't remember all the details of the story, but he was like, "Yeah, like this little girl got stuck in between the panes of the window."
No.
Oh my god.
No.
See, now you're picturing it.
No, Robert.
See, we're talking about it, you're imagining it.
You know, you can just take a big old fuck you right through the butt cheeks.
Coming down with a bad case of the fuck yous.
As if you guys couldn't tell, I don't handle horror very well.
Remember that when you listen to our Doki Doki episode.
You know, I am devoted to that game. I will try my best to get through Project Libertina. I will try my best.
But back to Ghibli. I don't really quite remember why, but I remember, like, Mononoke was one of those that, like, as a kid, I kind of struggled to finish. Not necessarily because I thought it was bad, but it was just a little too heavy for me.
It's really heavy, but it's really,
like, it was, I mean, it was more blood than I was used to seeing in anything animated.
Yeah, it's pretty deep, because, well, it goes a lot into, like, environmentalism and, like, respecting the environment, but also living well amongst the humans and, like, living in harmony with nature, which I think, you know, doesn't get covered a lot, and...
It needs to be covered more.
It does. And you know me, I'm a big eco-freak, so, like, when Keith took me to go see it, he was like, okay, I can see why this is your favorite film, because it's everything that I preach, it's everything that I talk about, you know? I don't know. Also, it has really great characters. Like, even the villain. I mean, like, this is the same kind of for all Ghibli films. But, like, the villain, or actually, there's really, you know, you can't really... I love it when you can't really pinpoint who the antagonist is supposed to be. If there is an antagonist at all. It's kind of like, yeah, like, you could say the chick from Iron Town was the antagonist, but in the end, she was actually just trying to make sure that her people were protected from these beasts of the forest.
I think you can have a character be an antagonist, but not necessarily be a villain.
Yeah.
Like, especially like if they're antagonist in name only, like they're literally just the person who stops the main character from doing what they're doing.
Yeah, you can definitely have an antagonist, but not a villain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Ghibli does, is there really aren't any villains. There's just
antagonists. Well, no. I don't know if you've ever seen Nausicaä of Wind, but that motherfucker is a villain to the fucking bone.
Okay, actually, yeah. And actually,
she's creepy.
Okay, you know what? I'm sorry, because I'm thinking of, like, I'm only thinking of a small handful of Ghibli films. Like, yeah, when you go to the entire spectrum, I take that back. There are definitely villains. Like, Castle in the Sky has a very definite villain. Mary and the Witch's Flower, if you count that as Ghibli, that definitely has a two villains.
Yeah.
So, actually, I take that back. Ignore me.
while we're on the
topic. I've never actually watched Castle in the Sky.
It's really good. And Tammy, that's another one that you would really like because it's very environmentally focused.
Yeah.
And Mark Hamill's the villain. And you can't go wrong with a movie that has Mark Hamill as the villain.
While on the topic of, like, you know, villains and antagonists and something that the writer in the room could probably shed some light on.
Hi.
If you wanna join in.
What? I was reading about the Quiet Place.
Oh my goodness, the movie?
I want to watch that.
Rock. It looks freaky.
We should watch it together.
Apparently, like in the whenever people watched it in theaters, nobody was able to make a sound. Like as in like it was.
Oh, kind of, because it's like so silent.
The movie just draws you in, and nobody in the theater was making any noise.
I'm fine. No, I don't want to watch movies with you anymore.
Come on, man.
No, you spoil things.
Can we watch a movie?
Yeah.
We should watch a movie.
After we're done with this episode.
Yeah, but Mac, I wanted to, like, if you weren't paying attention, we were talking about, like, distinctions between, like, villains and antagonists and things like that.
Mm.
You being a writer, thought you might have something to contribute.
Yeah, Mac.
Come talk to your grandmother.
Dad died.
Oh my god.
Now, basically, first things first is basically, well, I don't know if this is first, but you want your story, basically, like when you're writing a story, crafting a story, you're leading your readers, viewers along, and you're basically holding their hands and kind of being like, look at that, and come here, look at that. Oh yeah, that's cool, isn't it? And look at these people. Yeah, you like them? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The trick to it is gracefully doing that and making it feel like the viewers/readers are finding all of that out by themselves, you know, and that they're just encountering it. And so you kind of want to be able to encounter people. And now you've always heard about, you know, like the Krabby Patty formula for a person of, you know, like, oh yeah, they look so great, but they're really bland. And, you know, like, you see a really cute person and you're just like, oh my god, yeah, but they're really bland. It's because they're not a very, it's not a word, encounterable person.
Did you just compare people to Krabby Patties?
Would you want to be so serious?
Have you ever had a fucking Krabby Patty, Robert? God.
Robert's Squidward.
All right.
That was insulting.
I think I'm just going to leave.
No, Squidward is all of us.
Yeah, I was about to say, you become Squidward when you turn, like, early 20s.
Yeah.
And if you're not Squidward by the time you're in your early 20s, then something's wrong.
So that was really a compliment.
Challenge accepted, goddammit.
I'm being human.
I'm sorry, but continue.
Basically, you just want, for protagonist and antagonist, you want someone that you can encounter. You want someone that kind of just has a certain spectacle of life to them, if that makes sense. Especially as a villain.
Do you mean just like someone who's believable as a human?
Yeah, and you'd be surprised, a lot of humans just aren't believable as humans. You know, like, it's just, you know, like,
well, yeah.
You want someone, like, as we grow, we experience things, and then we kind of, like, look back in life and use those experiences, they just get added to our lens on life. And so you want characters, good and bad, quote unquote, to have a lot of these lenses on life, a lot of experiences, or at least intricate experiences that make them have an interesting viewpoint, or make them just have a viewpoint you give a shit about.
Yeah.
This has been Storytelling 101 with Machiavelli.
Hey.
I'm going back to Tumblr.
that almost like overshadows everything you just said.
Back to the story.
I'm so glad we have that recorded. Oh, I want that to be my ringtone.
Why?
Just so like when it goes off in public, people will be like, what the fuck was that?
Back to the story. It's like,
I
want to,
like, I'm going to go to Britain and keep my phone on loud.
Oh my god. Robert. Why did I do that?
So, we're actually coming up in 30 minutes. Did you guys want to extend this one or no?
I just Studio Ghibli is, like, I've kind of said all I have to say about it. Like, the only way I could say more is if we wanted to hone in on a specific movie, and I could just give my opinions on that movie, like, in particular. But at Ghibli as a whole, it's like, I've said all I want to say. It's amazing. It's the only reason for me to be alive.
Whoa.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. No, seriously, though. Like, Ghibli is, like, definitely, I mean, I think it is for a lot of artists, but even for me, it's just, like, one of those things where it's inspired so much to me as an artist. And, like, just, like, from the storytelling and the characters and the memories that you have as a kid, like, it, like, Spirit, and especially Spirit in a way, just, like, a lot of it just hands it to stories that I come up with and how I look at myself and what I'm doing when I'm writing or when I'm drawing. And it's powerful, man. Like, the stories and the characters, the movies are just so good. You just can't go wrong with any of them. And, like, once again, like, I'll pick apart. I mean, it's hard to pick apart a Ghibli movie. You can find fault in absolutely any movie, but it's, like, that's all I have to say unless you want me to give my specific.
It's probably because they're so out there. They're so magical and so, like,
you don't question them.
Yeah, it's kind of like everything is so abnormal that nothing is abnormal.
Yeah, it's like,
if that makes sense.
With a lot of Disney fantasy, you're constantly questioning loopholes, whereas Ghibli, you almost never think about loopholes, ever. Even though there technically should be, you just never think about it.
Yeah, because you're just enjoying yourself.
Yeah, but that's all I have to say. Like, if you want me to give specific thoughts on a specific movie, I will. But other than that, Ghibli is the light of my life, and that's all I have to say.
Yes, I also think their movies are good.
Yeah.
All right, I think that about does it for this episode. So until next time.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Whoever's birthday it is.
Happy birthday.
Say it louder.
Say it louder.
Say it louder.
Oh my god, guys.
Say happy birthday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Oh, no, my phone's not unlocking. Ah, no!
God, Robert, you're fucking up.
This is the last time you fucking
up! Ah! You're fucking up!